Thank you. During one of the songs that we were singing, it was just a straightway introduction into all of this. You know, when the oceans rage, when there's pain in the night, you know, when things get to that level and measure of difficulty and challenge and complexity and almost like they're impossible, they're irresolvable, there's nothing that we can do, they're life problems that are beyond our capacity to deal with, they're simply too much. I don't think there's anyone here this morning who could say, you've never been there. You're not wearing the t-shirt. Maybe you put this t-shirt on, I don't know. Could get you this one, but you've been there. If you haven't, expect it soon, okay? Because it's life. Sometimes it just gets far beyond anything that we think we can handle and deal with. And the scripture this morning is a passage about something like that. You know, the men alone numbered 5,000. Well, likely there were 10 to 12,000 people or more, and they had not brought any food with them, and they were hungry. Now, I don't want to ask any of the parents here what happens with their children when they get hungry and the food's not on the table. You know, something sets in. It gets tense. They're hungry, and there's no food to eat. You fill in the blank as to what was happening in this big 10,000-person crowd. Something had to be done. Jesus turns to Philip. Now, he knew that Philip was the, I'm not going to say Philip. Not all accountants are like this. Forgive me, accountants. They're not all like this. I know that. But Philip was the practical, realistic, you know, feet on the ground kind of personality. He looked out over the crowd. He thought to himself what it was going to take. He started crunching the numbers of the money that it would take. And he said to Jesus, he wasn't a bad guy, right? He just said, we don't have enough. We can't do this. You're going to have to tell them to go and get their own food. We can't do it here. Now, you know, I'm not going to be hard on Philip. You know, like, there needs to be an accountant type in every family in one sense, in every church, you know, in the community. We need people like that, the ones that are practical, that are realistic. They're not in denial in any way. They're not glib. They're not, you know, facile about what's going on. They get it. They see it. They understand it. It's, you know, they don't offer any false hope. They're just real about the situation. It's impossible. This one is impossible. There's nothing that we can do. Andrew speaks up. And Andrew, he wasn't an accountant, but he was a business guy. He ran a fishing operation, okay? And he was very solution-oriented. I mean, there's a problem. You got to solve it. You got to find an answer to it. And so he starts looking in the crowd and says, hey, Jesus, I found a young boy. He's got, you know, two fish and five loaves. Now, you know, he understood that it wasn't going to do the deal, right? But it was at least something that might get it started, something that would help. We need Andrews in our lives too. I mean, I know I do. And, you know, in hard situations, what can happen? You know, you can tend to sort of just pull back, withdraw, go private, get insular, and, you know, you close yourself off to any outside help. Andrew reached out. He went looking for help. We need people like that. We need, okay, the accountants, the business people, we need those. Then there's the little boy, okay, with his lunch. He's the third one. And this lunch wasn't much, but here's the deal with the little boy. He gave what he had. The little boy had this willingness to give what it was that he had when Andrew found him in order to help others. Now you think just of the three of them here. Philip was the kind of guy who was able to see the challenge. He understood the challenge that was before him. Andrew was the kind of guy, when he looked at that challenge, he tried to get others involved in how they could find a solution to that. This little boy, well, he just probably was overwhelmed, but he said, here, you can take what I have and you can use it. Now, you need all three, okay? Nothing wrong with any one of them. You need all three in any kind of situation. But even together, even with the synergy of the three of them, it wasn't enough. This challenge was beyond their capacity and ability to handle. They needed Jesus. This group needed Jesus. Now, the miracle story then unfolds. It's quite incredible. Faced with this impossible challenge of having food to eat, the people had more than enough. It was a lavish provision for them on that day, and Jesus made all of that happen. Okay, that's the story. That's the scripture Diane read. You go through the rest of John 6, you're going to see some interesting things. Why did Jesus slip away? He saw that because of this miracle, the people wanted to make him king. He slipped away into the hills, but the people found him, and they came back to him. And Jesus starts to talk tough. You know, he's not the gentle, meek, and mild wimp. He starts to talk tough to these people. Chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus says this, "You want to be around me. You want to be with me because I fed you. But you don't really get it. You don't understand a thing about what it was that I was doing." And here's what he says. You need to be less concerned with perishable things in your life, like food. I mean, yeah, I did that for you, but less concerned with that and far more concerned with the things that count forever, with what real life is all about, what God life, the life that only God can give, is about. Chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again." And right at that point, it's interesting, you've got to read this, because right at that point, the people start, it says, they start to murmur and they start to complain, because this was no longer about food to eat for them. This was no longer about a guy who could do miracles for them that they wanted to make king. This had now become about someone who was making an outlandish claim to be God. And they didn't get that, didn't want to get that. They refused to get that. You know, it's not the same thing, but I saw parallels between the video that we had and this story, because Phil Vischer wanted the blessing of God. That's what he wanted. He wanted the miracle. I mean, God does miracles. That's what he wanted. But then he says he wanted God to get out of his way, because he had other plans. He had other ambitions and other dreams and goals. He had life objectives. He was into, for the sake of God, world-changing, life-changing outcomes. But Jesus looks for something different. I mean, he can do that stuff. He does still do that kind of stuff. But he's looking for something more. Jesus asks for our obedience. Jesus asks for us to humble ourselves and come and follow him. And when we do, then he starts to roll out surprise after surprise after surprise of his life, not ours, his life at work in us. At the end of John chapter 6, we read how it says there that almost everyone who had been fed, now get this, we're talking thousands, okay? Almost everyone who had been fed, everyone who had more than enough to eat, deserted Jesus. They turned away from him. They left. They walked. They had said, "That's enough. We can't accept this. You're offering a teaching that's too tough, too hard, too much for us to swallow. We'll have nothing to do with it." And then Jesus turns to his 12 disciples. That's all that's left, according to the passage. And he looks at his 12 disciples and he says, "Are you going to leave too? I mean, thousands have left now, did this great miracle. They left. Are you going to leave now too?" And Peter replies, "Master, to whom would we go? You are the one who has the words of real life, of eternal life." I want to tell you that in just a few minutes, yeah, I've got to get there. In just a few minutes, there's a miracle that's going to happen. There's a miracle waiting to happen by the grace and kindness of God for you. There's a moment coming that God looks to do a miracle in your life. Very shortly, you're going to be holding some bread and a cup of juice in your hands. And I tell you, there's a big surprise, a real big surprise, that Jesus wants to roll out, release in your life. You know, most, if not all of us here this morning have things, stuff going on, people in our lives that need a miracle. We bring that as we gather. God can do that. Bring that to the Lord. God can do that. Nothing's impossible for God. Yet there's a surprise of Jesus that's waiting for us that goes even deeper, that lasts longer, that you get to experience in just a few minutes. And it's all in bread and juice. When you are willing to come with the words of faith that Peter expressed, that say to Jesus, "Master, there's no one else I can turn to. You and you alone have the words of real life. You have the words of eternal life." At that point, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, takes that small mustard seed of faith in you and me and goes to work in our eating and our drinking, these very simple earthy elements that we have here. They then become a way, a means for God to nurture and nourish God life. That's the difference, okay? God life in us. God working in us from the inside out. You know, I love the way that Phil Vischer described that in the video. It's what happens, what God wants to nourish is us starting to be suspended. Think of it, suspended in the current of God's love, of God's will. A sad sandwich bag. A spineless jellyfish that becomes a thing of beauty, a person of beauty. People of beauty flowing in the current of God's river of love, God's plan, God's purposes for us. My friends, that's the miracle, the great miracle that Jesus is more than ready, willing to do in you, for you, with you this morning. And it's like I can sense the Spirit of God saying to me, nudging me, and I don't think just me, not me alone, but you too. Will you turn to this Jesus? Will you respond to this nudge of the Spirit of Christ? And will you embrace Him? Right here this morning as we eat and we drink, as your Master, your Lord. You alone are the one. You alone. You know, there were 10, 12,000 people, and Jesus didn't discriminate. Okay? It was a miracle of non-discrimination. And I love what the Scripture says about this table. We say that it's an open table because the Scripture says that people are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, from all over, and they're going to gather at a table. The feast of God, the banquet of the kingdom of God. According to the Gospels, when the risen Jesus was sitting at a table with his disciples, he took some bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and the Scriptures tell us that their eyes were opened. It's Jesus. It's the life changer. They recognized him. This is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites everyone who has put their confidence and their trust in Christ to share in the feast that Jesus has prepared. As we come, it's the Word of God that opens up our eyes. So let's stand. We're going to affirm our faith in words that are taken from Scripture. Together as one. We believe and know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. We believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. We believe that He is in the Father, and the Father is in Him. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we have life in his name. Amen. Please be seated.